The sermon this morning comes from Luke 19, verses 11 through 27. This is introduced as a parable. And the reason for this parable is the people had this expectation that when Jesus gets to Jerusalem, it's on. He's shown up as the king and all the work is going to be done by Christ. Jesus describes then that that's not how it's going to go down. He's not going just to go ahead and accomplish everything at that moment. All of the work of the kingdom is going to be done. He describes then, he says, I'm going away. And as we look at the scripture, several times he explains to his disciples, I am going away. Physically, he was going to leave. So he's informing his disciples, this is what's going to happen. You need to understand, I'm going away, and there's going to be a work that is to be being accomplished when I go away. Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 11. While they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, Master, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be an authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, your mina, master, has made 5 minas. And he said to him also, and you are to be over 5 cities. Another came, saying, master, here is your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take what you did not lay down, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, by your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest. Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas already. I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. But these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we look at your Son as he has described himself. Give us confidence in you and give us confidence in your mercy that as we approach you in the mercy that has been purchased by Christ, that we can grow, that we can have hope, that we can have joy, and that we can love your Son more and more, that you will be glorified in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We look and there are people destroyed here. People are actively being destroyed by Christ. Oftentimes, the world has this picture of Jesus just as this gentleman or as a weakling that would never do any harm or would never do any cruelty. One of our elders once said in a session meeting when the question is asked, what would Jesus do? Well, the idea of him grabbing a whip and flipping tables over is not out of the question. Jesus, when it was called for, was quite harsh. When Jesus, when it was called for, was very direct in the dealing with sin. we have these people, and who are the ones who are judged here as we are looking at them? The ones who are judged here are the ones who are saying, we do not want this man to rule over us. There the judgment comes. We can see the echo of Psalm 2 here when the nations are rising up against Christ and they're throwing off all of his cords, his rules or his laws, and they take a stand together against him. I have dealt with people as I talk to them about the gospel. They would say they did not want a God who would judge and throw people into hell forever. And I explain to them, but if you reject this God, you too will be thrown into hell forever. And they said something like, very well, be it so. This is the voice of the one who said, I knew that you were a cruel man. I knew that you were the one who reaps what you did not sow, picking up what you did not lay down. You are the one whom I would not work for. You are the one that I wouldn't have dealings with. And at that point, Christ says, by your words, you're going to be judged. You put yourself in this position where you would not receive me. You would reject me. You would call me harsh and cruel when I gave you everything that you needed to be blessed, to be cared for, to prosper. We can see the echo of Eden in this place as well, where man was created and put in this good place where he had everything that he needed. And at that place, he rejected God and said, no, I will not have you. You can see the fall echoed in your own life. As you were born, you were blessed, you were cared for, you had need of nothing. You laid down and you were cleaned by someone else. You were fed by someone else. Everything that you needed in that setting. And all of us, like Adam, have gone astray. From that place, we show ourselves to be utterly selfish and sinful, saying that God does not provide for me. I will not have this God rule over me. Now, how have we changed? What is the difference in our life now on this side of the cross? We look in the minas that have been given here. This is several months' wages is what's been given. This stack of money, this large amount has been given to the people. And he says, go and use this. Do business with this. Show me what you can do. For you and me, what is this? What has been given to you? And God says, do business with this. Show me. Show me what you can do. All of you. All of us have been given skills and gifts and talents. And we see that these are to be being used for Christ specifically. For Him, for His glory, for His fame, for His honor. And a time will come when He comes back and says, show me. Show me. Show me what you have done with what I have given you. Now you and I are in this place and don't feel like a failure now. Don't feel like a failure now. You and I are in this place where we're being spoken to. Instruction is being given to you. We have the time and now we have the opportunity. We've been given the talents. And we get to use these things. We get to cultivate these things. And this is the call for you this morning. To cultivate Christ's gifts for the meeting with Him. Our first step, number one, is coming to this reality. I have gifts that are to be used for Jesus. Verse 13, and he called ten of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. What did he give you? What do you have? We can look and see the things that he has given us. We sang Psalm 139 last week, saying that we were knit together with love in our mother's womb. He has made us into who we are. So your natural talents and your natural abilities, the strength that you have, consider that work is little more than moving one thing from another place. As I look around, all of you, all of us, have the ability to move something from one place to another. The smallest among us, Angelo, he can do work within his house. His parents can tell him what to do. He can move one thing from another place. Nunzio can do that too. He can move one thing to another place, getting things done, accomplishing things, doing work within his house. How much more? The rest of us who are stronger, who can move further, who can accomplish more. Work can be done by each of us, and these are skills and abilities that we have been given, even if it was just our bodies. Ephesians 2:10 describes you as God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for doing good works that he prepared beforehand that you could walk in them. Your intellectual powers, the things that you can figure out, the things that you can teach other people, the problems that you can solve, your spiritual powers, having been given the Holy Spirit in your life, all of the fruits of the Spirit. You have the ability to love. You have the ability to have joy in the midst of painful circumstances. You have the ability to have peace in terrible circumstances and war. You have faith. You have self-control. You have been given all of these things, these resources Christ has set on you in the circumstances of your life and says, now show me. Show me what you can do. Do business with these things. And when I come back, show me. Show me what you have done. We see that real faith in James 2. Verses 14 through 17. Real faith is alive. Real faith is producing fruit. Real faith is doing things in life. There is that advancement. These are the things that you have given me. Now verse 27 puts us and shows us that place. The one who will not work for him. The one who will not work for him, who will not use his body to work for him, his mind to work for him, his spiritual gifts to work for him. That is the one who's saying, we do not want this man to rule over us. They take his law and they throw it away. They take his commandments and throw it away. They say, I don't have to love God the way that he has said in the first half of the law. They throw it off. I don't have to love my neighbor in the way that he has said. They throw it off. I will not have this man to reign over me. That is the dreadful and terrifying place that when Christ comes back and says, you're my enemy. You are my enemy. You would not have me reign over you. And in accordance with what you have said, you'll be judged. You've said you're my enemy. Because you would not have me to reign over you. So as we have been given gifts, we move to our second step, which is make your gifts grow. Verse 13 again. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. Verse 15. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. Now in verse 23, we see this man who would not have his gifts grow, who would not do a work with it. Verse 23, after the man had made his statement, verse 23, then why did you not put my money in a bank? And when I had come, you would have at least have collected it with interest. There was nothing happening that the man was doing. He was not increasing his gift whatsoever. 1 Timothy 4:14 through 15, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. So you have stuff. You have gifts. They are there. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. But verse 15, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. You have strength. You have abilities. You have skills. You have talents. You have the fruit of the Spirit. And we're being told there's a work to be being done with these things. There is the expectation that you will actively be growing in these things. Consider, think back, has there ever been a time that there was something that you cultivated? Something that you have built? Something that you have strengthened? Some of us have trained for sports. Some of us have studied in school. All of us have done some work where we've gotten better at something. I don't see anyone crawling around in diapers here anymore. You've gotten better at walking. You've gotten better at different things. It took effort. When you learned to walk, how many times did you fall? But I can see from each of you, you kept getting up. Good job. And let's see it with our spiritual life. Have you fallen? Yes. Will you fall again? Absolutely. Will all of us? Yes. But we get up. We move forward. We do these works for Christ. We do these things to give Him our progress. Now, what must be accomplished? What is Christ looking for? In verses 16 and 17, we see this hero and we see this champion who pulled it off. He says, look, 10 more. Doubled it. And Christ looks and says, well done. Way to go, champ. You get 10 cities. The next guy only did half as good as that. Christ looks at him, the guy that did half as good, and says, well done. Way to go, champ. And it's only the one who says to him, you are unrighteous. I would not have you rule over me. I did nothing that you told me to do. And Christ says, if you had done anything, if you had done anything with what I would have given you, I would have said, well done. But as it is, you have actively rejected me, saying, I would not have you rule over me. The smallest effort shows something. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 2. Peter speaks and says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So, this having been accomplished in you, he goes on to say, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. There's a change and a growing. There's an accomplishment taking place. In your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. Learn and grow in Christ. And in your knowledge, self-control. Knowing Christ is going to do things. And in your self-control, godliness. And in your godliness, this does something. Brotherly kindness and our love for one another. And in your brotherly kindness, love. which is the end of the whole law, the accomplishment of the whole law. These things are being accomplished and are changing us. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that as we are given this grace and this faith is accomplishing things in us, that we are actively applying these things. Now, verse 9 in 2 Peter chapter 1, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Practice. You've seen the fruits of practice in your life. After all, as I have already observed and pointed out, you can all walk. Practice these things and you will never stumble. That is, you will at least be getting interest on the gifts that you have been given. Now this growth, how does it take place? This is our third step, which is grow through Jesus. John 15:4. Christ speaks to you. Christ says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In Christ, there is fruit being accomplished. In Christ, your supernatural skills, your supernatural abilities are being manifested. It is strength through him, strength through time with him, strength through his word. Psalm 19:7, the word, the law accomplishes these things, restoring the soul, making wise the simple. Christ is that light. You can think of the light shining on the plant. As I've been learning more and more about trees, I've loved some of the evergreens. I really appreciate the hemlock tree. And I was tempted to dig a little one out of the woods. And my arborist friend, he says, that little tree who's been sitting in shadow, he said, that thing could be 20 years old sitting there. This tiny little tree, because he's only been sitting in shadow. For you, as we look at our lives and we look at our spiritual growth and we look at what is to be the end of our spiritual growth, that love for God, that love for our neighbors, that manifestation, what it's supposed to be, how do we grow? But through that light that Christ provides, through the sacraments that he has given, that food for our body, for the nourishment of our souls, that we will be strengthened and that we will be encouraged. Through listening to Christ, through that blessing in his word, the word preached, the word sung, the word read. Now this growth, step four, grow through confidence in Jesus. I had that fun experience of watching a small child, a couple of small children. It was actually at Amos's soccer match. And Titus Martin was there, and he's got two itty-bitty ones. And these little guys, a little daughter and a little son, they were climbing up on this concrete platform where there is a lamp. And they were both rejoicing in, climbing up, standing on there, holding on, and then just throwing themselves into the air for their dad to catch them. And I got some cool shots of it, some cool pictures of it. That beautiful picture of confidence. And when we throw ourselves to Jesus, he's going to catch us. That you can do the hard things. You can do the terrifying things. If you are applying what he has given to us. We see Christ, what was happening there. Verse 12, so he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. We see the posture of the people, verses 20 through 22. Another came saying, Master, here's your mina, which I put away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down. You reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, by your own words I will judge you, you worthless slave. What is the attitude that we're having towards Christ when we won't apply His word? When we won't do the work that He has given to us? This time when Christ left and He went away, Daniel 7, 13 through 14 describes what happens. And I interpret this as being at Christ's ascension, what's described here, when Christ went away. Daniel 7, 13 through 14. Daniel says, I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, remember Christ had ascended and was hidden by the clouds, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. We look and we see Christ is currently in his glory. Christ is presently at the right hand of the Father. We understand as we're having confidence in Christ, he has all authority, he has all power, as we have confidence in him, that faith that we see in Hebrews 11:6, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Are you living that? That he is a rewarder of you if you are seeking him. How is that playing out in your life? That you are seeking him. To know him. To understand him. To apply his gifts. We understand him as that benefit, as we have sung in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. As it is he is the benefits who pardons all of your iniquities. He who heals all of your diseases. He who redeems your life from the pit. He who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He who satisfies your years with good things so that you are renewed with youth like the eagle. You see that it is Christ who blesses you in this way. Christ who gives you everything that you need to provide for you. So we ask the question then, and this is our fifth step for you to consider. What are we saying if we are not seeking him in order to grow? Aren't we making that terrible statement? I don't trust you. I will not have you to rule over me. Are we saying, and are we lining up, as we see in verse 27, with the enemies of Christ? If we will not acknowledge him as the King of men and ruler and Savior of men and of nations. So we come to that place where we understand with our sixth step that we are to work as one who will give an account. Verse 15, when he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they have done. We've got business to do. Kingdom business to tend to. Business in our hearts, business in our lives, business with our neighbors. To have that faith, James 2:17, that faith which isn't dead, that faith which is alive, that faith that bears fruit, that is evident to those who see that Christ will be glorified. So here's the blessing for you. You've been given a stack of money. A stack of gifts. Abilities. The least of which is to work physically with your body to move one thing to another place. The greatest of which is to love. To truly love. to truly love Christ, to love in His name, to love the Heavenly Father, to love your neighbors, to demonstrate this supernatural power that you have been given, to stop being a selfish baby, but to be those people who move along and look like Christ, to love even the ones who have forsaken Him and condemned Him, to give Himself up for them. Cultivate your gifts. Build your abilities, looking forward to the great day when He comes back. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You that while we were yet sinners, You demonstrated Your own great love for us, that Christ died for us. We thank You, Lord, and we rejoice, and we thank You for the gifts that You have given us. Please spur in us that hunger, that desire to advance from strength to strength, moving from selfishness to that great expression of true love for You and true love for our neighbors, that You will be glorified in our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.